We're talking about the total man. That's the series that we've been looking at for a while, the total man. And this is dealing with your spirit, your soul, and your body. Before I forget, the choir, please spread these amongst yourselves that you're going to have a training on Saturday, 10 to 12, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, 2 hours. Brogbade Adetishala will come to help train the choir. I've requested that he should do that, and he wants to do it. He's gracious enough to do it. So please let everybody come and don't miss out on that training. Amen. So we're looking at the spirit man, the soul, and the body. That's what makes up every human being that you see. That's your makeup. That's my makeup. Man is a tripartite being. And when I say tripartite, it means three parts. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. God's design, God's order. Listen, everyone, and please, I don't want any distractions and side talks. God wants you to live from your spirit, man. He doesn't want you to live from outside. There are too many outside influences in our world today seeking to control us, seeking to dominate our lives. When you look at some adverts, you are compelled to buy the product. And some of you here listening to me tonight or those online would agree with me that at one point or the other in your life, you bought something that you didn't need. Do I have a witness? Okay, I want to see your hands up. Have you ever bought something you didn't need? Good. Why did you buy it? Because of what you saw. Because of the advert, maybe the packaging. And then you bought it and then you thought, why did I even buy this? But sorry, too late. You bought it already. Wasted money already. Because you were moved by what you saw. You lived from the outside in. You allowed what you saw on the outside to determine your decision on the inside. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible makes it very clear that we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is on the inside. Faith is on the inside. Faith is an issue of the heart. Faith is a substance in your spirit, man. Are you with me tonight? Romans 10:10. Look at that very quickly. Very quickly. Romans 10:10. Can you put that on the screen for me? I have a whole lot to say, so I want to thank you. For with the heart. Now, when the Bible says with the heart, it also means your spirit. Your spirit and your heart mean the same in the context of the Bible, especially in the New Testament. For with the heart, man believeth. It doesn't mean the heart that is pumping blood, the organ pumping blood. No, you can't believe with that one. Your spirit, man. With the heart, which is inside, with the heart that is inside, with the spirit man that is inside, man believes. So faith is an inside issue. Somebody say it's an inside issue. So it's not an outward matter. It's an inward matter. It's with the heart that you believe, not with your pocket you believe. With the heart you believe. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But first of all, faith is an issue of the heart. Believing is an issue of the heart. In fact, backpedal to verse 9. Romans 10, 9. Backpedal to verse 9. Verse 9, quickly, please. Verse 9. Romans 10, 9. You are in 10, 10. 10, 9. Now, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe where? Oh, no. Come on, don't sleep on me. Shall believe where? This is a class, so there has to be interactions. You shall believe in your heart. Again, that underscores the fact that faith is an issue of the heart. You see, now, okay, so let's finish that scripture. That God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then you believe in your heart, inside your spirit, man. Inside. So faith is an inside matter. Is a matter of the spirit. Is not a matter of the head. That is what makes the difference between faith and motivation. So motivational speakers are not preaching faith to you. Motivational speakers are using psychology to encourage you, positive stuff, positive vibes, the things you see, the things around you, to encourage you to do stuff, to do things. You need to have a right attitude. Your attitude must be positive, because your attitude determines your altitude. That's not the word of God. It may eventually align with the word of God, but that's not the word of God. And you cannot base your faith on that. Are you with me, church? Faith is based on the word of God, not on the quotable quotes of the smartest man in the world. If you live your life based on motivation, you're going to be disappointed. Because in the day of battle, in the day when you need to exercise your faith, there will be nothing to exercise. It will be quotable quotes. Can you tell a problem? Your attitude determines your altitude. You, this demon, disturbing my family. Your attitude determines your altitude. Now, I have a right attitude. Get out, because of my attitude. Get out. I have a right attitude. Get out. The guy was just there and be laughing. Say, come on, keep saying that. I like it. I'm enjoying it. When the devil came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, the two accounts, how did Jesus overcome him? By motivation? By having a positive attitude? No. Jesus defeated Satan, the head of all the principalities and powers in the world of darkness, by the word. By the word. Jesus said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because that's how faith comes. Faith comes by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Romans 10:17. Now, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. KJV says, but in the original translation, it actually says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the anointed utterance of Christ, the spoken word. In other words, as you are reading the written word, and you go beyond reading, you go into studying, you go beyond studying, you go into meditation, and you are beginning to meditate, you are beginning to ponder on a particular scripture. In fact, sometimes just a word, a particular word, can turn your life around, can change your mentality. Just one word, just one. I mean, a word in a phrase or in a sentence. As you stay there and think through and put your picture and say it and mutter it underneath your breath and say it out and confess it, and you stay there and think and think and think and think and think through, it gets to a point that that word speaks back to you. And you know, oh, this is my word. My goodness, this is it. This is it. That's when faith comes. God speaks to you. It becomes not just the written word, which is the logos. It becomes the anointed spoken utterance, which is the rhema. R-H-E-M-A. That is how faith comes. You can read all you care. If you don't meditate on the word of God and allow the words talk back to you, you can memorize all you can, and you still won't profit much from the word of God. There are people who memorize scriptures. I mean, those of you who are actors, they can give you a portion of the scripture as a script. They can give that to a Muslim. They can give that to a traditional worshiper. They can give it to a nominal Christian who is not born again. And all he needs to do is to cram it. For example, they say, as part of your acting, you're going to recite Psalm 91. Yeah? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. You know, actors do that. And the guy comes on the scene because that's his job. He's paid to act that role. And so the director says, silence everywhere, tape rolling, action. And the guy shows up. And, you know, he's having a banter with another person. And he points his finger and says to the guy, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. And then it goes on and on and on. Wow! Excellent performance, isn't it? And by the time he's done with that scene, the director hugs him. Man,
You killed that role.
You killed it, man. And they are done. And then they go down to one lounge. And then, can I have some chilled beer, man? And the guy goes on maybe Gulda, the ultimate. It's cool. And he smokes shisha. Eats fresh fish. He just reeled off Psalm 91. Know the difference between you and such a person? The letter killeth. It is the spirit that gives life. It is as you stay in the word and meditate on the word and you allow the word talk back to you that faith comes. And listen to me, every time faith comes, energy comes. Can I have an amen to that? The energy to do what God has said to do. A lady was in this church, a youth copper. I went to minister in Isenyi, NYC camp, and then she joined from there. She's an orphan. We're still in touch, so I can say she is. And so, because of her childhood experiences and all of that, beautiful lady, she refused to get into a relationship with men. And she joined at the time I was teaching, be bold, be strong, be courageous. Oh, that's part of it. I remember the first two, the BNS. Okay, so be bold, be strong, be courageous. And she came every Sunday service to hear that series. She joined the church eventually. And she came to me privately and said, now I'm ready for a relationship. I said, how do you mean? She said, so this has been my journey. She told me about her personal journey and then told me her fears and everything. But now that the Holy Spirit, now listen to this. Everybody in church on those Sundays heard the word. But it's not just the first hearing. Faith doesn't come just by assuming that you heard. You need to hear and hear. And it's not in the number of times you go on YouTube and play the video. You can do that 100 times. No, it is as you yield to the Holy Spirit in listening to the anointed message that you allow the Spirit of God speak a word to you that nobody might even hear in the service. So, she got into a relationship with a brother. And he happens to be a good man. He was also here to share his testimony about how that God helped him to secure a scholarship, I think, to Finland. Is it Finland? What's that country? You know that guy that came here? Poland. Thank you. Poland. His name is John, yeah. He's a man of God now. So he got a scholarship to go to Poland for his master's. He's done with master's now. They are married now. He came back home. They got married, and then he's back, and then she's going to join him. And they're very close to me. We talk. And I'm very happy to know both of them. Very serious, very committed Christians. It's amazing how the word of God works. I wasn't talking about relationship when I was teaching, be bold, be strong, and be courageous. But somebody needed to apply that word in that area of her life. You see, the word of God is multidimensional. It is multifaceted. The same word that cures cancer is dealing with relationship, is dealing with finances, is dealing with stagnation, is dealing with depression. Same word, my God. Same word. That's why it's important our state of heart when we come to church or when we study the word of God on our own. Your state of heart is important. And that's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching now, to have a renewed mind. A mind that is not renewed will bounce back the word of God. That's not me. They're not talking about me. Nayam, if they dash everybody husband, is this someone like me? I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too slim. I'm too fat. You keep disqualifying yourself. I have yams. You know, ladies don't like to have yams. Man, that's what that guy is going to see. That child of God is going to see and is going to fall in love with. I just love the shape of her legs. My God, the same thing you are ashamed of. Somebody said, I have K, my leg is K. Man, that K, if some people are crazy about it. And when the right man shows up at the appropriate time, when you keep serving the Lord, I tell you, do you know what is called grace? It overrides and overlooks every imperfection. He can't even see it. Mephibosheth was lame in both feet when David came and said, is there anyone still remaining in the household of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God for the sake of Jonathan, my friend? Then one Ziba said, well, there is one guy, one Mephibosheth, but he's lame in both feet. And being lame in both feet, you can't come to the presence of the king. You are deformed. You are an invalid. David said, fetch him for me. Oh, he was in Lodibar. He was already out of town. Lodibar. Lodibar means a land of no communication. If you bring that to English, Lodibar. When you have low bar on your phone, you know that that's not a good signal. And then debar. Debar means to prevent. To debar. Low. Low was bad enough. But the guy was in Lodibar. A land of forgetfulness where nobody remembers them. But can I tell you what? We serve a God that never forgets. I was sharing on Sunday about a guy that sent me 100,000. God is my eternal witness. I've not spoken to that guy in at least 16 years or 17 or more. I mean, I've not spoken to him, no correspondence. How does such a person all of a sudden just send you money? Even the people we see every the people that see me online, they don't care. I mean, it's not like he follows our church or anything. I don't even know what is going on with his life. He's in London. I'm in Nigeria. In fact, I was in London 3 years ago. No communication. I didn't even have his number. Matter of fact, I didn't even remember him. Is that not how God works? No matter where you are, the word of God can reach you. All you need to do is believe God and stop targeting people. You see, if I send an email to this one, he will send me money. If I call this one, if I text this one, stop doing that. Talk to God. Connect with God. God knows how to connect the people that will not rest until you are helped. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Our world today is filled with motivational speakers. In the name of pastors, be very careful. Be extremely careful. If they can trace it back to the... Get down on the word yourself. Raw. This word is multidimensional. Multidimensional. What's the connection between be bold, be strong, be courageous? I was even talking about facing the challenges of life, I'm sure. I can't remember all the content of that message. And somebody was receiving courage to be in a relationship. Today she's a missus. And man, that relationship was rocked with a lot of challenges because it was an intertribal marriage. It was going to be an intertribal marriage. And there were lots of resistances and oppositions from the guy's family because the guy is from Benue, something like that. And the lady is from another part of the country. But hey, God's word always wins. God's word always wins. Mark it. God's word always wins. That's why you should go for God's word. If you are wise, go for the word of God. Go for the word. You know how many people can tell you in life that something you're trying to do is impossible? It can't be done. It can't work in Nigeria. But have you got God's mind on that issue? Oh, yes, I've got God's mind. What did God tell you? Pastor, God told me so, so, and so. So hold on to that until it happens. Don't live your life in the natural. Don't live your life by what you see. That's where I started from tonight. God doesn't want us to live our lives based on the outside and outward circumstances. So you look at the price of fuel, the price of rice, the price of garri, the price of, you say, me, I can't be married this year. Only God knows if I can marry next year. Only God knows if I can marry in 5 years' time. I don't know how many years I will have to work to save before I get married. And then you remain on the spot by your mouth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will do well this year. We renew our mind by the word of God. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So God Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, our text for this series. Can you put that on the screen for me? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The very God of shalom. Shalom meaning nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. There is a God that administers it. He said that God, I love Paul. I love his writings. He was praying for Onesiphorus. In one place today, I was just meditating. And he said, may the mercy of God be on the house of Onesiphorus. He earlier mentioned the people that resisted him in ministry. They were enemies. They fought against him. He just mentioned them. Then he went on to the one that cared for him, Onesiphorus. He said, may the mercy of God locate his house, be in his house. He said, because he often refreshed me. Now, he said, even when I was in Rome, he did all the due diligence to look for me, and he found me, and he refreshed me. Then he prayed for him again that he will find the mercy of God on that last day. The God of mercy is the God of peace. This is also Paul's writing. And this looks like a prayer, doesn't it? Like a blessing. And the very God, I pray for you, Expression House, may you know God. May each of us really, truly, in our private lives, encounter God. You see, when you know God, nobody can talk you out of God. In fact, nobody can talk you out of your church. They can't. They can't succeed. Because the question you will ask is, if I leave the Expression House and I go to that church you're asking me to go to, is it a different God? The God of the Expression House is different. There's a different God I'm going to meet there. I don't want to meet a different God. I don't need a different God in my life. There is only one true God. Only one true God. And if you know him and you're serving him here and you're encountering him, what are you looking for? So Paul said, the very God of peace, that one true God, sanctify, meaning set you apart for a holy use. Now, sanctify you wholly, totally and completely. Set you apart for a holy use completely. But it is in this order. And I pray God, your number one, your whole spirit, your innermost self, your truest you, that's your spirit. Then your soul, which is the next. And then your body, which is what we see. All right? Be preserved, blameless, impeccable, flawless, holy, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. This is God's order. He wants you to live from the spirit, not from your soul and not from your body. With your spirit, you make contact with the realm of the spirit, where God is. With your soul, you make contact with the mental realm, your study realm, your university realm, your academic realm, your professional realm, your business realm, where you're thinking and coming up with ideas. With your soul, and with a good soul that is renewed with the word of God, I tell you, you will be successful in business. Because in 3 John and verse 2, the word of God tells us that beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even a good soul will help you to be in health. He said, he now put the two together, even as your soul prospers. So as your soul prospers, you will prosper financially and you will be in health. But then how does your soul prosper? Your soul prospers by taking instruction from your spirit man, which is in sync with the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Did you get that? Spiritual death is when your spirit departs from the Holy Spirit. That's spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. So we need to be alive spiritually. Amen? By being conscious of the one on the inside of us and fellowshipping with him daily, talk to him. Talk to the Holy Spirit every day. maintain that connection. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Maintain that living connection with him. Now, so I've dealt with the spirit. I'm dealing with the soul now. In the soul, we have your mind, which is what I started last week. And I'm going to show us, I promised to show us a scripture in the Old Covenant today. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You see, you cannot afford to be ruled by any of them. God wants you to live a spirit-controlled life, that your spirit man that is in sync with the Holy Spirit will give instructions to your soul, and then your soul will give instructions to your body. You see, this soul that is in between is a very powerful place. In the soul lies depression. In the soul, I can prove that. In Psalm 103, David said to his soul, he was speaking to his soul, verse 1, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I don't think he was having a good time when he wrote that song. I don't think so. It was a command to his soul. Because the soul can be depressed. The soul can easily be oppressed by the enemy, by the outside forces allowed to penetrate. That's why you should never allow any situation get to your spirit. The moment it gets to your soul, let it stop right there. But how can it stop? How can you bounce it back? By renewing your mind. He said in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Because in the soul is where you have the memory, the ability to recall. Why did he say forget not all his benefits? Because you get strength from remembering all the deliverances of the past that God has given you. You know, when something terrible happens, something unexpected happens, we have the tendency to go into depression and think, "Oh my God, why is my life like this?" But if you can stay back a bit, back up a little bit, and remember and recall the very bad times that God came through for you, those moments when you thought it was over, "Oh no, well, that's it, I give up." But then God showed up. And here you are. 5 years ago, it was like you were going to die. You wouldn't make it. But this is 5 years down the line. Amen. If you can look back to those moments, then you can thank God for this moment, and you can get the assurance that you are going to overcome this as well. The saints of old did the same. David did the same when he faced Goliath. He had never faced a giant before. It's in the Bible. He was 17. He was not even enlisted in the Israeli army because he was not old enough to be in the army at the time. That was why they left him at home to take care of his father's sheep. But in 1 Samuel 17, he went to the battlefront to go and see the welfare of his brothers. He wasn't prepared for battle. And he saw this guy coming up. Huge, larger than life, tall guy. And he was roaring. For 40 days and 40 nights, he was harassing the army of Israel. "Send me a man to come and fight me. If he's able to finish me, we are going to be your slaves forever. All of us, the Philistines. But if I finish him, you're all our slaves forever." That was the deal. "Send me a man." And all the big boys, all the trained soldiers who had been firing darts and arrows and everything, throwing javelin with all their muscles, biceps, triceps, six, what do you call them? 6 packs, 12 packs, 2 pack. All of them were winning in their pants. It's not by muscle. It's good to have muscle. And I have muscle. Amen. Praise God. Like it. But it's not just for decoration. You know, ours is to wear nice clothes and for people to see. Yeah. But theirs was life for life. Kill Goliath, all the Philistines surrender. They kill the man from Israel, all the Israelis will surrender. Saul was the king. And you need to know the qualification of the king, Saul. Saul was the tallest man in the whole country of Israel. He was taller than the tallest from his shoulder up. So bring up the tallest man in Israel. He only got to the shoulder of Saul. That's a kingly stature. He shows up like this. All the women are tripping. All the ladies are, man, oh, let the king just look at me. I become a queen. Praise God. I mean, it was everything. But man, he couldn't face Goliath. And David came out and he saw what was happening. And David went to two of the soldiers. Excuse me, what's going to be done for a man that kills this guy and takes away this reproach from Israel? What's going on, technical? David was jealous for the name of the Lord. How can somebody be blaspheming the name of the Lord like this? Like, you know that, some of you know my story. You know that guy? I want him to go to jail. You know why? Because if you want to be a con man, be a con man. But for you to be a con man in the name of the Lord, no, I can't take that, man. His lawyer asked me, Pastor Fred, do you really want the guy to go to jail? In my mind, I said, yes. Outside, I said, let me have my money. But you know what? I'm going to have my money and he's going to go to jail so that others may be deterred and know that you don't mess with the name of the Lord. How can you still be laying hands and be speaking in tongues and be acting like a pastor when you are actually a con man? Friday night, you're in the club. Sunday morning, you're laying hands. I don't understand that confusion. To me, it's like he's schizophrenic. You have two different personalities living in one body. And you know his problem? His problem is he didn't understand this teaching when it was taught many years ago. He didn't renew his mind. When you don't renew your mind will tell you to continue to live the way you were living before you got born again. That's the mind for you. And the body is not planning to repent. This body is not born again. The body of any pastor you know, including PFE, this body you are looking, is not, the body is not born again. That's why we cannot afford to listen to this body to rule us. Because it will lead us to hell, and the body is not going to hell. The body is ending up sand, dust to dust. Can you imagine allowing somebody lead you to hell and say, bye, see you. Where are you going? Let's go together. No. Dust has to go back to dust. The flesh has its own appetites. What did David do when Saul looked at him? Ah, you this fine boy. Who is the owner of this boy? Hey, young boy. You should be in the expression house. He said, yes, sir. You understand the CV of the man you're out to fight? He's been a warrior from his youth. You are a youth. You know what David did? He recalled. Sir, there was a day I was out in my father's field and a lion came. Another day, a bear came. If a bear stands like this, puts his two hands up, some of them are as tall as a man, some taller, and they can punch. Go on Google, research on bear. David finished the bear. David finished the lion. He said, I went to the lion. I took the animal from his mouth. It's not yours. It's not yours. It belongs to my father. I'm sure God was looking at the guy. Man, man. Come on, Gabriel. See this guy. Man. Come on, boy. Come on, boy. Now, help him, help him. Come on, boy. But he had courage. What? A lion? God have mercy. No wonder God said David is a man after my heart. Talk about courage. That I rescued the animal. When the lion turned against me, I slew him. I killed him with my bare hands. No sword, no gun, no bomb, just fist fight. That was a mortal combat, you know. Because imagine, number one, the anger of the lion, that you had the audacity to come after me. Number two, you took my prey from me.
Number three, you are now even facing me. You didn't run. Threefold anger. Imagine them exchanging punches and the lion was roaring. Whoa. The roar of a lion can paralyze a person. Just roar. Whoa. David didn't care about the noise. David faced him. Today, I'm going to finish you. You're going to be pepper soup today. Pepper soup. In fact, I've not eaten lion before. Today, I will eat lion. Can you imagine the shock on his father's face when David took the lion home? Atipero! Mommy, want to cook soup? Of all the animals in the jungle, in the forest, you brought a lion home. A lion. Who will cook it? Do you know some people fear, and maybe some of us fear the dead body of a lion? Just to, lion, he's dead. I don't want to hear. What if the thing wakes up? Are you with me, church? But David had courage all through. But David said something as he was talking to Saul. He said, the God that delivered me from the paws of the bear, the God that delivered me from the paws of the lion will deliver me from the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine, and it shall be like one of them. So David never took the credit of winning the lion to himself. He said it was God. May God deliver you. Whatever lion you're facing, whatever Goliath you're facing, whatever bear you're facing, God will deliver them into your hands in the name of Jesus. Are you with me, church? We recall. Paul the Apostle also recalled. You remember in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 10, where Paul said, we'll not have you ignorant brethren of our trouble that came to us in Asia. How that in a great trial of... For we would not, brethren, have ignorance of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, pressed from pressure. We were under tremendous pressure, out of measure. The kind of pressure you could not measure. That sounds like motivational speaking. Measurable pressure. He said above strength. It was above our strength. People say be strong when you're going through stuff. You got to be strong, man. You got to be a man. You got to be strong. Above strength. In other words, we are giving glory to God. In so much that we despaired even of life. We were not sure if we would make it out of life. I got to that point last year when I wasn't really sure. I couldn't tell anybody, but I wasn't sure if I would make it out of life. I wasn't sure. I mean, my son hugged me one morning. I had tears roll out of my face. I look at my children and say, well, so what's going to happen? I was trusting the Lord, but I was pressed out of measure. So I would never take the credit of surviving that ordeal. I'd never take the credit to myself. I would never. People say, oh, Pastor, but you're so strong. No, it's not me, really. It's the one on the inside of me. Very quickly. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Our trust was in God, and our trust is still in God. Then in verse 10, he said, who delivered us? The same language David used. The God that delivered me. Paul said, who delivered us from so great a death. I don't care how great that death is right now, you are delivered in the name of Jesus. And doth deliver. Meaning, he delivered us in the past. He still does deliver. And in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. No matter what comes tomorrow, God will yet deliver us. Can I have an amen to that? That's the power of the soul. To recall. To recall. The writer of Lamentations, Jeremiah, said in Lamentations 3, 20, 21. He said, this I recall to mind. Then I have hope. If you are not able to recall, you become hopeless and depressed. And commit suicide. People commit suicide because they get to the point of hopelessness. Lamentations 3, 20, 21. Give us quickly, 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 quickly. One of my favorite scriptures. I love it. I love it. Lamentations 3, 20 and 21. It said, this I recall to mind. 21. 3, 21. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope.
Church, anytime you get to a difficult situation in your life, looks hopeless and dark and gloomy, please take some time out to reflect on your journey so far. You might not be where you want to be yet, but hey, look back over your shoulders. Are you still where you used to be? No, you're not there. You've moved. So give him praise for the progress so far. Amen? Therefore, have I hope? Hope comes when you have a healthy soul. The psalmist said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Said it twice. Psalm 40 something. 40, 46, 45, 43. The 40s. No, it's not 46. 42. And verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Help is coming. Hope in God now. Hope in God now. Why are you depressed? This is a state of depression. You're disquieted within me. You are downcast. In fact, in verse 6, he now reported his soul to God. He said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. He was reporting the soul as an entity to God. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. I remember the salvation, the deliverance you gave me in the land of Jordan and of the Ammonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. This is one of my favorite scriptures. In verse 11, he repeated, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why? And why are you disquieted within me? You know, sometimes you just feel depressed and you really don't know why. People say they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Why? So talk to your soul. Get into the habit of talking to yourself. Encourage yourself. Come on, boy. With God on your side, you can do it. You can make it. You're going to make it through. You've made it through more difficult situations in the past by the help of God. And you can make it through again this time. A situation may happen in your life where everybody will discourage you. You encourage yourself. Are you with me, church? Don't always look for encouragement online, encouragement from friends, encouragement from pastor, encouragement. You may get discouragement from everybody. Learn the art of talking to yourself with the help of God. I'm going to preach a message on that very, very soon. It helps in the darkest moments of life when nobody is talking to you, when the silence around you is so deafening. That's an irony, isn't it? How can silence be deafening? The silence around you is so loud that it can deafen you. Learn to talk to yourself. David was talking to himself here. Let's learn from the Bible. All these psalms became my companion. In fact, I was writing them out. As they blessed me, I got a book. I was writing them out. He reported his soul to God. He said, my soul is disquieted within me. Then he said to his soul, why are you downcast to my soul? Verse 11. And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Come on, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We are talking about the soul tonight. The soul is key. People kill themselves because of an unhealthy soul. But how then can we make our soul healthy? Don't forget, your soul is divided into three compartments. It has three rooms, the mind, the will, and the emotions, which over the weeks, I don't know how many weeks we shall be looking at. Over the weeks, we are going to be looking at until everybody has a healthy soul in this church in the name of Jesus. When our mind gets completely renewed by the word of God, oh my goodness, things will just be happening. You will dream it will happen. And because you will know that this is possible. With God, all things are possible. Everybody believes that statement. They say, oh yeah, amen. With God, all things are possible. Yeah, amen. But after church, that situation shows up. Well, I don't know if God is going to do this. But in church, he said, yeah, with God, all things are possible.
The mind needs to be renewed with the word of God. What is the renewal of the mind like? I'll describe it like this, and I don't want you to forget. It's like you going into the bathroom every day to have your bath, to have your shower. Every morning you go there, don't you? Because if you don't, you know the result. It's like the brushing of your teeth every day. It's a routine, but it's a good routine. Because if you leave it unbrushed, can you do that for a day? You'll never be my friend. You'll lose many friends. People will be greeting you from afar. You come closer. Yeah. Two people are fighting. You come close to them, they will settle the fight quickly. Everybody will go their way. Stop fighting. I don't want to fight it. Anybody faints around you, you say, get up! Before you say in Jesus' name, the person will get up. The smell, the stench will bring them back to life. Nobody wants to hang around. Hold up. Foul smell. That's the way we are without the word of God. We smell. Don't forget that. So get into this bathroom. No wonder many people have deficiency in their character. The character smells, reeks with pride. You cannot be renewing your mind in the word of God every day and be a prideful person. Americans will say prideful. You can't be, because the word of God will make you humble. Because you will read in the word, 1 Peter 5, that says to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and it will exalt you in due season. You read from the word of God that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And you don't ever want God to resist you. You want to make a move and he pushes you back. God! No. If Satan does that, we can talk to God. Because his name, Satan, means the resister. That's his job. But you don't ever want God to be the one resisting you. You want to marry. God says, you are not going to marry. You want to build a house? No, never. You want to be promoted? No, never. You want to have money? No, never. To get into your bathroom. Where did I get that from? Ephesians 5. Let's look at it quickly. And I've not even started tonight what I plan to share with you. That is a blessing. Ephesians 5, and look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. How? By the word. That he might sanctify, set it apart, and cleanse it. And cleanse it. How does he do the cleansing? With the washing of water by the word. So the word is water. And every time you get in the word, the water will wash you. The dirt of yesterday will go. It's like when you go to Dubai or you go to these Arab countries or you have a layover in Qatar. Nice hotels. I've not been to that place, but they've told me about it. I've been to Dubai. And one of our mothers in the other church was telling me that she had a bath in this very clean, crystal clean bathroom in Qatar, in Doha. You know, when you have a long flight and then you have a layover, so sometimes they allow you to have to sleep. They will do, if you have a good travel agent, they would book a hotel accommodation as part of your frio. As part of your flight, because you have like a 16-hour layover. So some people, because they like to go to other countries, people like me, very adventurous, I will not book a straight flight to London, except it's an emergency, and I will not see any emergency in the name of Jesus. So I want to go to another country first and enjoy that country. It's part of our money. And then now go to London. Amen? Or America. That one. So she said she got to this bathroom and she was feeling cool, like, man, no. I had my bath in America before I left the U.S. So is there anything to wash again? We've been on the plane. It's not like we went out on the field where you would be exposed to dust. But after arguing and arguing with herself, she got in the bathroom and she was shocked. The amount of dirt from her body. She said, you know what? When I even used, after having my bath, I used the towel. Crystal clean, immaculate white. I used the towel was stained.
You don't know how dirty the human body can be sometimes. Go to Lagos. Travel from Ibadan to Lagos. The next time you're going to Lagos, don't use the train. I'm not commanding you, I'm just saying, if you don't use the train, if you use a bus or a car, get a white handkerchief in your pocket. When you get to Lagos, wipe your face. Locked. And it's not apparent that dust has settled on your skin, but it's there. Imagine now living that kind of body for 3 days. You're not having your bath. You need to have your bath. In fact, before you go to bed in the night, some people are so clean. May God have mercy on them. After a hard day's job, after releasing perspiration, after, you need to have a nice shower. Amen? Guys, inclusive. Not just ladies, because it's very easy to attack ladies. Men, too. Some of you need to change your socks in the name of Jesus. Amen. When some people pull up their shoes, you will run. Because the atmosphere will change right now. I sat with one bros in Mokola years ago. You know, I grew up there. We were watching a movie in my friend's sitting room. And I was the one sitting very close to his feet. He was... He had his shoes on, but the smell was bad. When I couldn't hold my breath anymore, I had to look at him. Then he looked at me and said, "It's smelling, Abby." He said, "What if I remove the shoes?" He said, "It's your bad." And go, "Ah!" The bad boy will only one. We all begged, "Emma boy, don't take off the shoes. Don't take it off." I mean. And he said it with pride, like, what's wrong with this one? He knew it was smelly. We all smell without the water of the word. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? So, this is what cleanses our mind. All of the negative thoughts, all of the immoral thoughts, all of the ungodly thoughts, all of the thoughts of fear and anxiety. Fear, anxiety, all of those hellish stuff. As you spend time in the word helps you to wash it. The story I wanted us to read before was 2 Kings 7, but I can say it in 2 minutes. You know the story. Elisha, the man of God, came because there was a famine in the land, and he said, "Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." But the king, the senator, the special advisor, on whose hand the king leaned, because the king took wisdom from the guy. He was the wisest guy in town. The man said, "Hey, man of God, if God would make windows in heaven," meaning there are no windows in heaven. So if God would manufacture, or dare, he didn't know that there are windows of heaven. It's written in Malachi chapter 3. When you pay your tithe, God said, "I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out the unending blessing that you don't have enough room to contain." You guys, if God were to make windows in heaven, might, look at the words he used, might this thing be? Remote possibility. Might it? He didn't even say, "Shall it? Will it?" He said, "Might it? Might it be?" Imagine when you're reading your Bible and God says, "If you obey me, I might bless you. You might be saved if you call upon the name of the Lord." Ah! We have carried goats at a kennel. If that is our salvation, if you receive Jesus, you might make heaven. Then we receive Jesus and then we don't know whether we'll make heaven or not. We don't know what we will do. I'll put God in a good mood. We don't know what we will do. Put him in a bad mood. We don't even know now. Let's go to church, oh, because they will not go to talk with us. We're in trouble. Our God is not the God of might not, probability. He's not the God of probability. He's the God of certainty. Can I have an amen? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said to Abraham, "Blessing, I will bless you.
Multiplying. I will. Not I might. This guy said, might this thing be? Might it be? Elisha, you know what? You're suffering from protracted trigonometric retrogression. And it's a result of a baboonistic emancipation of the liberation of your medulla oblongata. You are suffering from astigmatism, and it is a result of the rheumatism of your hypothalamus. Might this thing be? How can they be selling one measure of fine flour for a shekel? Two measures of barley, a shekel of a genie. It's like bringing it to the Nigerian context. Tomorrow about this time, shall a Congo of rice be sold for 1,000 naira and two Congos of beans for 1,000 naira? Nayam. Pastor Fred, Isha. Is your life a boo? I mean, God. Oh, God. Is it good to laugh in the presence of God? Praise God. Amen. But did it happen or not? When the Almighty is talking, you had better be humble to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe. How he's going to do it is none of your business. If you could make a virgin conceive without knowing a man, is that not enough story for us to believe? How can somebody now come to me and say, Pastor, I'm pregnant? Say, you have done the do. Congratulations. Say, no, Pastor, I didn't know any man. I just slept, I woke up. But we have the proof. We are laughing too much now. Let's close the service. We have the proof of God's word. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. If God could do that, you know, the next day Mary was on the street. She went to Mokola Market to buy efo. As she was buying vegetable, you know, nobody would know that she carried the seed of God. Walking on the street like this, and people are looking at, fine girl. And she was carrying the seed of God. Be careful the way you treat people, though. You don't know what they carry. They might be carrying something to bless you. Don't despise people. Don't write people off. They may not have as much money as you do right now. Don't let's go too far tonight. Let's stand on our feet. Amen. Have you been blessed tonight? Elisha had no chill. He said to the man, it's going to happen. You're going to see with your eyes and you're not going to partake of it. And it happened to the man, according to the words of Elisha. A renewed mind accommodates the promises of God. Let's get in the word of God every day to renew our mind. Amen. Father, we honor you and we praise you. Thank you for being our Father and our God. We want to say tonight as a church, Lord, that we love you. You are the one who gives the word. Great is the company of those who publish it. We are glad to be connected to you, and we are blessed by association with you. Thank you again for refreshing us and helping us to renew our mind by your word. And so as we go to our various destinations tonight, let your holy presence go with us, and you take care of us and make every crooked path straight before us, and let your name alone be glorified in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray for those online as well, that we know you've blessed them already. We ask that your blessing will remain permanent in their lives and in our lives in the name of Jesus. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit rest and abide with each and every one of us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.